Well,
someone will get half a sermon. So we have this, it's a very short parable. This is one verse. This is one of the shortest parables that there is. So you have a man who's, perhaps he's a treasure hunter. He appears to be going through fields, perhaps even looking for treasure. And in one field, he's looking around, and this treasure's not in the middle of, like, just, like, standing, like, on this pedestal, right? So he's got to look for it. And he digs around or whatever, and he finds some treasure. Maybe it's, like, silver and gold. You know, for him, maybe that's his treasure. And he gets pretty excited, and he buries that. Or maybe he's going and he finds some other treasure. For some, it might be brass. Whatever, take your pick of shiny things. And he hides the treasure, and he's like, "When I need, how do I get that treasure?" Sells all that he has so he could buy that field because that's where the treasure is. You know, we could talk about maybe the treasure was too big for him to take, or he didn't want to steal from the field. But it's not the point of the parable. We don't want to get too tied up in the physics of the parable, or we'll lose the meaning of it. I mean, we'll touch on this with most of the parables, that it's a story to illustrate a point, and trying to get too much out of it, like how did he get the treasure, why didn't he just take it, is forgetting the meaning of the parable. And so he sells all that he has, his home and his possessions and everything, because that treasure is so amazing to him that he needs it, and he buys the field so he can have that treasure. So he seeks the treasure, he finds it, and he gets it at a high cost. The second after this is very similar. The parable of the pearl of great value. Jesus is illustrating the same point in two different ways. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So now we have a merchant that's looking for pearls. You know, maybe he's a pearl dealer, and he's, you know, looking, trying to find the best possible pearl. And we don't think of pearls a lot as much today as you know, perhaps other gemstones like diamonds. Like ads for diamonds. Like every time I turn on the TV, it's like, "Hey, come get your diamond engagement ring." I'm like, "Well, I'd love to, but that's not there yet." But in the time of Jesus, the most valuable gemstone was the pearl. There was nothing of more value in Jesus' time and place than the pearl. And this was partially due to the Romans. The Romans had kind of controlled the pearl trade and built up the pearl as this object of great value. Most of the pearls in Jesus' time came from modern-day Bahrain on the coast there, as well as modern-day Sri Lanka. And finding pearls back then was a very, very difficult proposition. Today, we get to like farm pearls. We grow them inside of mussels and oysters. They're cultivated pearls. And so they're fairly common and fairly affordable. Natural ones, obviously, are still more rare. But to find the best pearl took a ton of work. Like, 1 in 5,000 oysters have a good pearl in them. So that's a lot of oysters to be looking for. And so this idea of a pearl of great value would be something that's very well known to the people that Jesus is speaking to. They'd be like, "Oh, they could relate to it, perhaps even more than we could. We don't think of pearls of great value. I have some here. Some nice string of pearls there. Got these from my sister, so they probably are of great value, so I shouldn't lose those. But again, we have the merchant. He's looking. He's seeking for something of great value, and when he finds it, he does something. He sells all that he has to attain that treasure, the pearl or the treasure in the field. Our treasure is the kingdom of heaven. That's what the kingdom of heaven parables are. It's the kingdom of heaven, the salvation provided by God, and the us following God as a result of that. That is the treasure that we seek. We seek it, we find it, we ask Jesus to become the savior of our lives, but then we need to do something about it. And that can be the most difficult part. Finding the treasure, okay, we can do that, but what do we do to get the treasure? What does God demand us to do to get the treasure? We have to give it all for this treasure. And all is, it's one of those words we don't really like in our society. All is, it's an absolute. It's not some, it's not most, it's not many. We like to have wiggle room, and all doesn't really leave much wiggle room, right? But wiggle room can be a dangerous thing. When Don's fixing some plumbing, he doesn't put the pipes together. He's like, we'll leave a little wiggle room there. He doesn't get most of the water through the pipes, some of the water through. We want all the water to be in the pipe, right? Or else it's all bad and you got to replace your floor or whatnot. You change the tire on your car, you don't put on the lug nuts most of the way. Your tire falls off. We don't want wiggle room in a lot of places in our life. And we don't want wiggle room in our relationship with God. We have to give all for the treasure that he gives us. So what are the things that we don't like to give up? This is the hard part. What do we like to hold on to? What do we not want to give up for that treasure? Is it perhaps friends? Are there people in our lives that are like, if I really follow God and do the things that God wants me to do, these people aren't going to like me. They're going to make fun of me, or they're going to leave me. They're not going to hang out with me. So it could be friends. It could be work. Like, I got this great job. The paycheck is phenomenal. But I'm doing things that, God really wouldn't want me to do. Maybe there's some aspect of our employment that's really not something that God would approve of. We change jobs because Lord leads us to, or that's part of our lives that needs changing. Or it could be family, and this is a hard one, because sometimes family keeps us from God. Sometimes family is what we're hanging on to. We don't want to lose our connection to family, so we kind of sacrifice a little with God. We're like, God, I'll give you all of my life, except for I want to have this relationship with my family that I know isn't leading me on the right path. Could it be greed? It's hard to sell all that you have. It's hard to give all that you have when you want to keep it yourself. When Jesus is talking to the rich young man, the guy asks, what do I lack? And Jesus says, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And the man went away sad because he was a man of great wealth. And he didn't want to give that up. That was the thing that for him was keeping him from giving his all for the treasure of God. Is it our pride? Pride is one of those, should be a four-letter word, but it's a five-letter word, that always causes issues. We don't want to give something up. We don't want to admit that we have a problem because of our pride. Is it tradition? Is it something that, this is the way we've always done it. This is what my culture says that we should do. Or is it religion? That's a tricky one. That's why it's at the bottom of the list. But religion can be something that interferes with us seeking that treasure. Something that we hang on to in even church. It reminds me of the Pharisees and their obsession with the law. And they were so hanging on to the law, this tradition of the law, that they forgot everything else. When Jesus, he heals the blind man on the Sabbath, remember? And, which is an amazing thing. No blind guy had ever been healed before. And the Pharisees are so caught up in the fact that he broke the law, he broke their traditions, that they missed the whole point about a miracle had occurred, and here standing before them was the very Son of God. So they're unwilling to give up their tradition to see the treasure standing in front of them. Luke 12:34 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That's why it's important for us to look at where our treasure is and what do we treasure. Now, we don't necessarily, when we become Christians, need to sell all that we have. That's fairly uncommon. For some people, maybe that's what needs to happen. But there are these things in our lives that may need to change so that we can have the treasure of God. Christ gave all on the cross for us. He didn't die halfway. He didn't go up on the cross for a little while and like, yeah, that kind of hurts, and then come back down. Christ died all the way for our sins. Should we not give all for the treasure that he gives us? We need to ask and pray for the Lord to help us seek out these things that we don't want to get rid of. If that merchant hadn't sold all that he had, he would have come up short. The pearl would not have been his. If the man walking through the field had not sold all that he had, he couldn't have afforded the treasure. Jesus says that we need to pick up our cross and follow him. We need to have the hearts of Christ. If we have the heart of Christ, then the things of Christ are our treasure. Paul reminds us that we are a new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. It is no longer us who live. It's Christ who lives in us. It's a changing from one thing to another. We're giving everything up because of the value of that treasure. The treasure of salvation, the treasure of a life with Christ. Now, if we really want a life with Christ, then giving up all of these other things shouldn't be a huge issue, because it should be like those refugees comparing home Syria and bombed out buildings and IEDs and disease and cholera for somewhere in Europe. We think of our life before Christ, and it was a life of despair, it was a life of sin, it was a life of futility, a life that led to death. Just like these refugees seeing their lives. And then we find the treasure of salvation, the treasure of a purpose in life, the treasure of knowing that we serve a risen Savior and one day we'll go to heaven with him. That compares pretty favorably to dying. So we should be willing to give all for that treasure. All is a small word, but a big deal in seeking the treasure of heaven. Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, 30 through 31, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these." Jesus uses all a lot. Let us use all a lot. Let us prioritize the things of Jesus in our lives. Look at our priorities in life. That's something that we don't always like to do. Where does Jesus rank? Where does the things of God rank in our life? Do we think of Jesus first? And then, okay, where does everything else fill in after that? Or do we make time for Jesus? Do we make time in our lives for prayer? Like, well, you know, I can fit in a little one-minute devotion here, and I can get a little prayer before my meal here, and I can go to Bible study here, but as long as it doesn't go past 7, because there's a show on, I don't know, Jeopardy or something. That might be holy, though, so we probably should keep that one. But are we prioritizing other things and then fitting our relationship with God around them? Or do we truly give all that we have to follow Christ? Let us pray in closing. Dear Lord, thank you for the salvation that you provide. Thank you for the treasure that you have given us freely, Lord. Help us to see the things in our lives that keep us from fully attaining that treasure, Lord. Open our eyes and our hearts to the things that interfere with our relationships with you, Lord. Be with us, Lord, and give us the the wisdom and the power and the courage to change our priorities, Lord, to put you first in all that we do, Lord. Thank you for the love that you provide us. Thank you for the grace that you provide us when we don't always quite get it right, Lord. Be with us as we seek these things and encourage each other, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.